This is Terry Mandel, DO, dictating an attorney letter to Dan Gore, attorney at law of the Ken Nunn Law Office, address on file. Dear Mr. Gore, per your request for an independent medical evaluation on your client, Michelle McGee, please note the following medical letter. The first name is M-I-C-H-E-L-E. Last name is M-A-G-E-E, M-A-G-E-E. On March 22nd, 2024, I performed an independent medical evaluation period. I reviewed an extensive amount of medical records as well as taken the history directly from the patient via telephone, period. A doctor-patient relationship was not established, period. New paragraph. The patient is a 58-year-old female, height 5'4", weight 168 pounds, who was involved in an automobile accident on or about May 19th, 2020, period. The patient was a driver with her seatbelt on, period. Although she denied loss of consciousness, she sustained injury when she was rear-ended at a stop, period. The patient was jerked, period. The patient hit her head on the side door, period. She had immediate pain in her right hip, low back, headaches, as well as radiating pain down the right side of her body, period. Despite adequate treatment present day, she is still having problems with her right hip and low back, period. New paragraph. Her right hip pain occurs with diminished range of motion, period. She was informed later that she had a tear of her labrum that she elected to have repaired with a total hip replacement in February of 2023, period. The delay in surgery was due to the fact that the low back was initially thought to be the major cause of pain, and the low back was initially treated, but ultimately due to MRI and further workup, it was determined that the right hip was a problem and it did require surgery, period. She was given the options of a labral repair versus a total hip, and she opted for the total hip surgery, period. Also, the fact that COVID was going on during this time frame and was in full swing, surgery was deferred till 2023, period. Her right hip pain is described as intermittent, period. It occurs with diminished range of motion, and the pain is constant when she moves the extremity, period. The pain occurs every day, and the duration is 2 to 3 hours per day, period. It is also described as a burning pain, period. The pain ranges in intensity from a good day of 3 out of 10 to a bad day of 9 out of 10, period. The pain radiates to the knee, and it occurs with a limp, period. New paragraph. Her low back pain is described as intermittent, period. It occurs 2 to 3 hours per day, period. It is a burning type pain, period. The pain ranges in intensity from a good day of 2 out of 10 to a bad day of 10 out of 10, period. The pain radiates to the right hip and down the leg to the knee, period. She does have frequent low back muscle spasms, period. New paragraph. The timeline of treatment, as best recollected by the patient, is that she was seen in the emergency room and did follow up with her family doctor, Dr. Richter, who referred her to community spine center, period. She was seen there several times, placed on medication, given physical therapy. And as her pain did not improve, she ultimately had an MRI of the hip and saw Dr. O. That's like the letter O of the alphabet. She ultimately had hip surgery after injections failed, period. She followed up with her surgery with physical therapy, period. New paragraph. Activities of daily living are affected as follows. The patient has problems walking over 2.5 blocks, comma, sitting over 1 hour, comma, standing over 30 minutes, comma, housework, comma, yard work, comma, sports, comma, biking, comma, sex, comma, and sleep, period. She does have a problem driving a car in the evenings, period. New paragraph. Medications include blood pressure medicines as well as over-the-counter medicines for this condition, period. New paragraph. Present treatment for this condition includes over-the-counter medicines as well as stretching exercises, period. New paragraph. Past medical history is positive for hypertension. New paragraph. Past surgical history reveals right hip surgery for this injury in February of 23, period. She has also had prior surgery to her right shoulder, comma, foot, comma, and tubal ligation, period. New paragraph. Past traumatic medical history revealed the patient never injured her right hip in the past, period. The patient injured her low back 10 years ago to a fall, period. She was told that she bruised her tailbone. She had physical therapy for approximately 1 month, and it resolved without permanency, period. The patient has not had low back pain immediately prior to this automobile accident, period. The patient feels that the surgery to her right hip was 100% due to this automobile accident, as she has not had pre-existing hip problems or pain, period. The patient was involved in an automobile accident approximately 2010. She injured her right shoulder, requiring surgery in 2010 without permanency, period. The patient has not had prior work injuries, period. New paragraph, occupation. The patient works in banking full-time, period. This injury causes her to avoid heavy lifting, period. She uses special cushions when she sits at work, period. She can work full-time at work, but it is with pain, period. New paragraph. At this time, I'd like to comment on some of the pertinent studies that I noted on review of medical records, period. Emergency room report, Indiana University Health, May 22nd, 2022. States 54-year-old female presents with multiple complaints following an MVC 3 days ago, period, was rear-ended, period. She hit her head on the steering wheel, period. Has since had headache and intermittent ringing in her ears and dizziness with left-sided neck pain and tightness to her left arm, period. Does report diffuse pain down her left side, period. Reports pain in her right posterior pelvis slash lower back and buttocks, period. Abnormalities noted and documented on physical examination. They state chest x-ray negative, x-rays of the right hip slash pelvis negative, CT of the cervical spine and head without bony abnormalities or hemorrhage, period. Suspect some discomfort today due to recent MVC. Assessment 1, MVC. 2, piriformis muscle pain. Number 3, neck pain on the left side. Number 4, contusions of the left arm. Number 5, closed injury of the head. Number 6, headache. They prescribe Toradol and cyclobenzaprin, period. Office visit notes, guy in family practice, June 3rd, 2020. Telehealth visit, history, motor vehicle crash, follow-up and discuss a recent visit to IUS for an MVA, period, was rear-ended on June 19th, 2020. Patient having back, shoulder, and neck pain, period. Assessment is back muscle spasm. We'll try different muscle relaxer period. Another visit from guy on family practice, June 15th, 2020, complains of back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, none is better, period. Back pain is low back on right side, if sits too long or too much movement, period. Prior to accident, nothing was hurting her, period. Assessment 1, back muscle spasm, 2, acute shoulder pain, 3, myalgia, 4, paresthesias and pain of extremity. MRI of the lumbar spine, July 6, 2020. Showed mild to moderate degenerative changes of the spine and mild posterior element edema involving L5 and S1, period. Office visit notes, community physician network, June 17th, 2020. Assessment, lumbar back pain with radiculopathy affecting left lower extremity, as well as myalgia. Office visit notes, community physician network, September 30th, 2020. Assessment, lumbar back pain with radiculopathy affecting left lower extremity. Plan is new referral to pain clinic to see if they can help with their pain, period. Community Physician Network, July 14th, 2021. Since MVA in May, seen spine doctor, had a couple injections that didn't work, period. Then got second opinion from the neurologist, chair in her hip, period. Dr. O doesn't think it will help unless she has a total hip replacement, period. Pain is horrible, period. Assessment, right hip pain, 2, midline low back pain, 3, back muscle spasm, period. She's been having ongoing pain since May, MVA, in her right hip and low back, period. She has had multiple injections back and hip. Patient considering right hip replacement as first step, period. Josephine Wallach, Munchauer Neurology, note January 18th, 2021. Chief complaint is right hip thigh pain, comma, post-MVA symptoms, comma, chronic migraines, comma, right thigh stiffness and pain, period. Community Spine Center notes December 10th, 2020. She reports having the same right-sided low back pain, which radiates down to the right hip, comma, groin, comma, leg, comma, knee and intermittent shoots to the ankle, period. Admission discharge note, Community Hospital North, February 28, 2023. Discussed surgery. Patient states started having more pain recently. Assessment 1, primary osteoarthritis of the right hip. 2, degenerative tear of the acetabular labrum of the right hip. Plan, we discussed longevity of total hip replacements and implications of revision, period. Admission discharge note, Community Hospital North, February 28th, 23. Patient admitted for right total hip on February 28th. Patient limited by pain, period. Also note, February 28th, 2023. This is a 57-year-old female who returns to clinic for a repeat evaluation of right hip pain, period. During last visit on July 1st, 2021, we offered her right hip arthroscopy with labral repair versus total right hip replacement, period. The patient has labral tear, period. Community Hospital North note, February 28th, 2023. operation is right total hip arthroplasty. Operation indication, the patient is 57-year-old female with right hip pain and limited motion, period. Conservative treatments failed to relieve symptoms, and we have elected to proceed with the right total hip arthroplasty, period. Physical therapy notes, Community West. It's Rehab West, rather. This is August 10th, 2020. Patient was in MVA, rear-ended on May 19th, 2020. She immediately felt pain from neck down the back and into her right leg, period. Center for Pain Management notes, history and physical office visit, December 1st, 2021. MRI of the right hip at the time was positive for labral tear. Intermittent visits with Dr. O, patient given option for either a replacement or labral construction, period. New paragraph. After review of all the medical records and performing an IME, I, Dr. Mandel, have found that all of her treatment as outlined above and for which she has sustained as a result of the automobile accident of May 19th, 2020, were all appropriate, reasonable, and medically necessary, period. New paragraph. Diagnostic assessments by Dr. Mandel are number one, right hip trauma, pain, strain, and labral tear resulting in total hip surgery in February of 2023. Number two, lumbar trauma, strain, pain, and radiculopathy. Number three, head trauma encephalgia resolved. Number four, cervical trauma and pain resolved. Number five, contusions of the left arm resolved, period. The above five diagnoses were directly caused by the automobile accident of May 19th, 2020, period. I would also like to reiterate that the delay in surgical intervention was due to a combination of several factors, period. The most important factor was that the low back was initially treated first and was thought to be the major source of pain, but ultimately an MRI did show a labral tear in the hip that resulted in the definitive surgical correction in 2023, period. Also, COVID at that time was in the highest, was in the most severest form of the pandemic, and that also contributed to the delay in surgery, period. The patient's complaints of pain on her right side and going into the piriformis and hip area are well documented throughout her entire initial course of treatment, including her initial visit to IU West emergency room, period. The patient was given the option surgically of labral repair versus total hip replacement, period. She made the decision for the total hip replacement, which would be a more definitive surgical correction, and I certainly agree with her choice for this, period. With any total hip replacement, underlying arthritis would be a partial component for the reason for surgery. But it is my feeling that the labral tear sustained in the automobile accident of May 19th, 2020 was the definitive cause of her need for surgical correction, period. New paragraph. At this time, I am rendering impairment ratings, period. Utilizing the book Guides to Evaluation of Permanent Impairment, 6th edition by the AMA, please note the following impairment ratings, period. In reference to the right hip, utilizing Table 16-4, the patient qualifies for a 9% whole body impairment, period. Converting this to whole body, it would be 4% whole body, period. In reference to the lumbar area, utilizing Table 17-4, the patient qualifies for a 2% whole body impairment, period. When we combine the two whole body impairments, the patient has a 6% whole body impairment as a result of injuries from the automobile accident of May 19, 2020, period. By permanent impairment, I am inferring that the patient will have continued pain and diminished range of motion in her right hip and low back for the remainder of her entire life, period. As a patient ages, she will be much more susceptible to permanent arthritis in the low back and right hip regions from this accident, period. New paragraph. Future medical expenses will include ongoing over-the-counter medications at a cost of $95 a month for the remainder of her life, period. A Tangent would cost $500, period. Some additional injections in the low back and hip will cost $3,000, period. A back brace will cost $250 and need to be replaced every 2 years, period. New paragraph. I have not provided medical care or any treatment for this claimant, period. I have not made any referrals or advised any treatment, period. I have reviewed the patient's medical records as well as taken the history directly from the patient, but I have not performed a physical examination, period. The purpose of this was to do an independent medical evaluation based upon the records, period. We have not entered into a doctor-patient relationship, period. New paragraph. The above opinions are based solely on the information provided and mentioned above, and they are expressed within a reasonable degree of medical certainty based upon the scientific principles accepted in the medical community, period. I am dual board certified in both family practice and also osteopathic medicine, period. I have over 40 years' experience in these types of cases, period. The patient gave me oral informed consent to conduct this review and share my findings with any party who requests this information, period. If I could be of any further assistance, please feel free to contact me. Sincerely yours, Terry Mandel, Deal, End of Dictation. End of dictation. Thank you.